This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. You are listening to Lee Chui Lin and Kelvin Yee. And this hour, we are going to be talking about the many political congresses and some of the drama that happened over the weekend. And of course, keep them coming. You can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. All of this coming your way on the evening edition.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:06 in the evening with Lin and Kelvin. In the meantime, we're going to be moving on to our next story, which is really a series of stories and observations and reporting from the goings-on of the weekend. It is 7:12 and we are officially now talking about the Congress of Congresses because we saw things get a bit heated over the weekend. There were several party meetings. We know PKR had their National Congress. There was also the UMNO General Assembly and Amanah's National Convention. But really, I think most of the headlines were kind of entirely dominated by PKR.
Yep, and that's because there was quite a bit of drama. There was, for example, a fist fight that broke out among youth members of the party.
And lots of drama and scuffling.
If you see the pictures, there was also some amounts of blood. And although Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim and Dato' Sri Azmin Ali had appeared to try to make peace prior to the Congress, 2 days into the three-day event, there were accusations that the truce was not respected. And on the final day, Azmin and his supporters skipped the Congress to have a separate meeting.
Yeah, of course, PKR party president Datuk Sri Anwar also made a speech that that referenced Malay history, that also made mention of traitors, which I think became something of the word of the weekend. Mm-hmm. And also, on that note about that separate meeting, right, that I suppose you could say Team Azmin held, they called it a celebratory meeting for the Shared Prosperity Vision 2030. But of course, it's been seen to be more than that in the public eye. All of this also seems to kind of head towards this power struggle that seems to be going stronger within the party.
The PKR drama practically overshadowed UMNO and Amanah's meetings in the news. But, you know, we'll also be taking at some of the key takeaways from those two parties later on with our guests.
Yeah, so I would like to try as far as possible to not lock it in too much to talking about PKR. But it's difficult because, like you said, just a lot of things happened. And within that space, it was physical tussling, it was verbal jabs, it was people deciding that they wanted to be literally elsewhere. So there's a lot going on. And in the case of PKR also, I think there's a big investment in it because the players involved, both of them are kind of major power players. Yep. In terms of our local political scene. So there is a little bit more of, I guess people are keeping a closer eye on it.
But also because they are now the party in government. And just seeing them do all this, just seeing them, all this amount of infighting really doesn't inspire any sort of confidence that they are necessarily always focused on the best situation for the rakyat. Mm. You know, if you continue to tussle like this and you don't solve any of the problems, the day-to-day problems that we're all facing, it really doesn't inspire any sort of confidence in us wanting to vote you for the next election.
Yeah, I think at the very beginning, the fighting was sold to us as we're a democratic party.
Yeah.
And that is why everybody can voice, you know, whatever it is that they want to talk about. You can challenge the leadership. It's not a problem. So I think that's what we were told was happening. And I mean, fine, even if you bought into it at the beginning, by this stage, I think most of us are over it. Mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say that there needs to be some form of resolution, and real resolution, not resolution where you talk about it and then you show up and it's so not resolved.
Yeah. So,
we'll be talking about all the different congresses that happened, all the different political meetings that happened over the weekend. But, you know, tell us what you think. Were you watching the headlines? What are your impressions of the parties involved at the moment? You can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with Dr. Oi Sun, who's a senior fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. That's coming your way. Keep it here on the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:16 in the evening with Lynn and Kelvin, and we're talking today about all the different political party meetings and congresses that happened over the weekend with and a special focus. I mean, we go where the drama goes, guys. So we're going to be talking about PKR first. Now, we have on the line with us Dr. Oh Ee-san, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Ee-san, thank you so much for joining us. Did you expect things to be a bit more peaceful at the PKR National Congress after, you know, what appeared to be a reconciliatory meeting between Anwar and Azmin prior to it?
Well, before the onset of this series of PKR meetings, there was this meeting between Anwar and Azmin, sort of to, in a sense, put their differences aside, at least for the weekend, as we thought. During the various conferences, the main party body, as well as the so-called wings, namely the women's wing and the youth wing and so on. But then, of course, there was, number one, the fist fight, and then there was this walkout by Azmin together with his supporters. So I would imagine I'm not putting blame on anybody, but of course, Azmin will be able to do that only because he must have a bigger backing behind him. I mean, otherwise, you go against your party president, it's very likely that you know, the party president would take disciplinary action against you. So we can only imagine, we can only surmise as to what is the power that be behind Azmin, so that he could perform this sort of very defiant act against Anwar as party president. Yeah.
So a few notable PKR leaders were seen attending the separate meeting with Azmin Ali. There was the Reform RC veteran Tien Chua, besides other party leaders like R. Sivarasa, Deputy Transport Minister Dato' Kamarudin Jaafar, also social activist Hishamuddin Rais, to name a few. What did you think the attendance said about the future of the rivalry between Azmin and Anwar?
Well, I think during Anwar's time behind bars for many years, during the past, let's say, 21 years or so, Azmin Ali was the one who worked very hard within the party to build up his, shall we say, grassroots support from the ground up. And of course, he also won over quite a number of senior party leaders. Anwar, over the years, tried to, as we say, remove control by installing his wife as president and so on. But I think at some point in time, some would date that to the Kajang push about 5-6 years ago. But others would put the date closer to after the recent general election, that I think PKR, a lot of PKR supporters and leaders, they start to lean more towards Azmin as the younger generation leader, as well as as somebody who is favored by the power that be, who could even overtake Anwar in terms of becoming the next prime minister. So you see the Azmin camp is becoming stronger and the Anwar camp is correspondingly become weaker. Yeah.
Okay, so this is something, this might be a one-sided complaint in the sense that it really did just come from one side, but Azmin Ali said in his separate meeting that the PKR National Congress appeared to focus not on current issues like the economy, but on talks about traitors and sacking and so on. Do you see that as a problem in PKR?
Well, PKR would indeed need to sort of adapt itself to be the largest partner in the ruling coalition. Traditionally, even without the Azmin and Anwar fight, PKR is consisted of various factions from various various ends of the political spectrums in Malaysia. There are those who are dropouts from UMNO. There are those social activists, there are those from the Chinese and Indian communities, and various other sections. They all came together under one umbrella. At first, it was about seeking justice for Anwar Ibrahim. I mean, this party actually reminds me of, remember that gentleman from Cambodia who was briefly here and briefly detained and then went to parliament and so on. I think his name is Sam Ramsey. And he used to have a party called the Sam Ramsey Party. Huh? So PKR for many years was synonymous with Anwar. Now that PKR is becoming a full-fledged ruling party in Malaysia, of course, many leaders, many supporters of PKR, they would like to make it into a truly, shall we say, not a party which is centered around Anwar. But I think Anwar would not relent until he becomes prime minister. And therein lies the tension between Anwar and, shall we say, a large part of his party. Yeah.
So the Anwar Azmin rift seems to have worsened over the weekend. How do you see things working out for the party?
Well, I think what would become of PKR depends, on the one hand, of course, on what is going on in the party, namely this almost imminent split between the two camps, the two factions, but also it has its external factors. It is well known that Dr. Mahathir does not intend to pass on the premiership to Anwar. And as long as Anwar is pushing hard to succeed the premiership as soon as possible, well, you will see this sort of unrest or disturbances in PKR because Azmin faction, which by all accounts is more favored by Dr. Mahathir, would of course take on the opportunity to keep challenging Anwar. So sometimes I think this external factor is even more important or more influential than the internal PKR infighting factor. Yeah.
Okay, we did promise that we weren't going to focus entirely on PKR because they weren't the only ones who had meetings over the weekend. Let's move on to the UMNO General Assembly and Amanah's National Convention. What were some of the key takeaways there?
I think UMNO's Congress over the weekend is very much a celebratory one because UMNO has successfully won several by-elections over the past a year or so, with the latest one being Tanjung PI, even though that's won under MCA's name, but everybody will consider that an UMNO win because this realignment between UMNO and PAS regarding the political cooperation is actually working. So before the PAS or UMNO would each send out their separate candidates. And so even though in combination they won over 75% of the Malay vote in the last general election, but because their votes are split, therefore they did not win as many seats as they would like. But now by combining forces, by forming this Fakat National and so on, UMNO and PAS are able to coalesce their support, and the results are planned for all to see huge wins in all the by-elections, including Tanjung PI. So, of course, for UMNO, it's a consolidation of this realignment with PAS, and of course, you need the decorative parties such as MCA and MIC in order to show your multiracial outlook and so on. So for Amanah, on the other hand, it is in a sense also a soul-searching convention as much as TKR because, Amanah probably has picked its electoral performance in the last general election by winning the more than 10 seats. It is a splinter from PAS. And it was essentially the more moderate professional faction of PAS. And unfortunately, with the rise of religiosity in this country, the more conservative version of religion as espoused by PAS is on the rise and is more appealing to a large number of voters. Therefore, Amanah would have to really do some soul searching as to how we can do better than in the past election. Yeah.
What do the developments over the weekend mean for Pakatan Harapan and stability moving forward?
Well, I think the congresses over the weekend clearly showcased that the opposition is on the rise, whereas in Pakatan Harapan, the major party is in disarray, and that party is trying to search for its existence and so on. So I think last election, UMNO and PAS used the wrong electoral strategy by sending out the separate candidates. Now that they consolidate their sort of support into one candidate, so I think it is very likely that they will win a large number of seats in the next election, and with luck, even forming the next government. So it will be a very conservative and, shall we say, regressive government, scaling back on a lot of freedom, including religious freedoms and so on. So the progressive forces in this country have to really beware of this and stop their bickerings and similarly work with each other. But even if they do so, I think it's no match to the onslaught of this Moffakat National. Yeah.
Ihsan, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Oh Ihsan, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, weighing in on, in many ways, all the different political meetings of the minds that happened over the weekend, and in some instances, meeting of fists. So we've been talking about the PKR National Congress, about the UMNO General Assembly, as well as the
AMANAS National Convention.
Yes, that's right. And so we would like to know your thoughts. I mean, how do you think? What were your you know, I think the simplest question here is, what were your impressions? You know, after, because these meetings are the moments when, you know, the leadership is supposed to meet, when there is supposed to be a direction set for the party, when they are all supposed to be able to debate and reason and come out with sort of a proper, strong direction. You know, there should be something communicated. Something should have come out of this meeting. They should be productive.
Yeah.
So I guess I would like to know, you know, based on what you've seen come out of these meetings, how do you feel about the parties? You know, have your feelings about them changed? Have your impressions changed? Let us know. You can call us at 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.